You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
You don't become a Christian just by joining a church.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord, teach us how to believe. We are only human, and we need to believe in order to live. Help us by your powerful Spirit to believe in you, to have confidence in you, to trust you, and to follow your leading. In the believing, give us joy like the joy of your Son who gave himself for us. In his name we pray. Amen. Where has all the joy gone? People all over the world are asking themselves that question. The New Age was supposed to bring people joy. The new frontiers of knowledge, exciting as they are, have not brought new happiness to our world. Quite the contrary. With all the discoveries and all the progress, our world is confronted with as great a crisis, pollution, inflation, and deadly dullness, as it has ever experienced in its whole history. Contrast that to something St. Peter was saying to certain people, most of whom were probably slaves, whose whole situation gave them no hope and no joy at all. Without having seen him, said St. Peter, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. Obviously, St. Peter expected these people to agree with him. They knew what he was talking about. They had experienced it for themselves. Joy, they had found out for themselves, is believing. It is just not any old kind of believing. It is believing in Jesus Christ. He is the one, said St. Peter. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. The whole thing is very simple and terribly human. It's him and you. It's all as personal as it can be. It wasn't a new system to replace the old one. That's the solution offered to our world today most of the time for all of its problems. These slaves knew all about the system, a most inhuman and degrading system. What they found was not a new system, but a new life, where ordinary people and even subordinary people like themselves could actually overcome the system, the circumstances under which they lived, the joyless existence they had always known, in a new, glorious, and life-renewing personal relationship with him. They had never seen him, these people. They talked to people who had seen him. They accepted the word of these people, that they had seen him. They believed, impelled by a power much greater than any they had ever known, the power of the Spirit of God. They believed and found joy, something they had never known before, in him. Without having seen him, you love him. And though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. Men like Paul and Silas and Barnabas, upright, honorable men, had come out to them in order to tell them about Jesus Christ. These men were always talking about Jesus Christ. They knew Jesus Christ personally, not only by sight, but by faith, which is really the important thing. Joy is believing. The men told about how Jesus Christ had died. That's not so surprising. Men do die. If people had known who this man was when he died, the living Son of God, they would have been surprised. "You crucified," said Peter to his own people, "the Lord of life." That was hard to believe. Not that he died, but that he was the Lord of life. It turned out to be the offense of the gospel, about which St. Paul speaks a great deal. A lot of people stumbled over that one. If God had saved him from his cross, they could have believed. But now he had died, and they could not believe. "Jesus Christ died," these men said, "and was buried. On the third day he rose again from the dead, as the scripture said he would." That was surprising. It does not happen every day. In fact, it doesn't happen at all. It's hard to accept the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. It takes some believing. But that's what these people came to believe. They believed what St. Peter said. "Great is the name of God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Out of the magnificence of his mercy, he has brought us to life again and given us a hope that is alive through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." The people to whom the story was told did not see it for themselves, but they believed. That's where the joy is. They found it out for themselves. Joy is believing that the man who died is the Lord of life, that he was raised again from the dead and is truly, actually, and forever alive. He lives and rules. He is King of kings and Lord of lords. There's no one else like him. He's the Savior of the world. In him, forgiveness. In him, hope. In him, life. Joy is believing. For these people, it was not an impersonal thing to believe in Jesus Christ and to love him. They loved him exactly as the men did who saw him die and then talked with him after he had risen from the dead. "Blessed are those," said the risen Christ to his men, "who have not seen and yet have believed." For these people, the whole thing became true. It must have surprised St. Peter himself to see how it worked. Without having seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. It always surprises me to see it happening today. The same thing happens today. It happens when someone comes to believe in Jesus Christ and learns to love him. Believing changes everything. The whole thing becomes a wonderful personal relationship, as it did with these people in the apostolic age, between him and you. Believing is personal, and joy is believing. St. Peter did not proclaim the virtues of the church. He talked a great deal about the church in this letter to his people. The church meant a great deal to him, but it is not the ground of faith. "I don't believe in the church as the ground of my salvation. I believe in Jesus Christ. By that faith, I become a member of his church. I believe that the church is the communion of his people throughout the world who also believe in him. In that church, the forgiveness of sins is proclaimed, together with the resurrection of the body and life everlasting. But all of it is in Jesus Christ. Without him, nothing. With Christ, everything. All is yours," said St. Paul, "in Jesus Christ. Joy is believing in him." Believing is a kind of friendship with Jesus Christ. He is a friend. You have to treat a friend as a friend. He loves. That's the way he is. You can't buy love, but you can respond to it with love. These people did, even though they had never seen him. Without having seen him, you love him. That's what makes a person a Christian. He loves Christ. You don't become a Christian by joining the church. You don't prove that you are a Christian by going to church. You don't act as a Christian by just trying to be good. When you become a Christian, you come to love Jesus Christ. You are joined to His church by your love for Jesus Christ. You worship Christ because you love Him. You live the new life in Christ out of love for Him. That's being a Christian. The whole Christian church on earth could use a great deal more of that than it has got. How are you going to love someone you've never seen? Most of us have enough trouble loving the people we see. Actually, it's not so strange when you think about it. I know grandparents who dearly love a grandchild they have never seen. They don't wait with loving him until they see him. When eventually they get to see him, he walks right into the arms of love, which was there a long time before he got there. Still, it must have surprised Peter that these people, living so far away, could love Jesus Christ without ever having seen him. It surprises me today. You tell people about Jesus Christ, how he died for the sins of the world out of pure love with no thought of himself. You tell them. And in the most surprising ways, they develop a love affair with Jesus Christ. He loves them and they love him without ever having seen him. They love him. They believe in Jesus Christ. They put their whole trust in him. They haven't got anything to go on except the good word they received from Jesus Christ. Yet they believe and rejoice with a joy that is indescribable and absolutely glorious. Their whole lives are changed. Where they were gloomy before, they become happy. Where they walked around carrying a load of guilt, they now walk out in the free air of God's forgiveness. Their step has a new spring and their eyes a new light. They believe and everything is changed. Joy is believing. Joy comes from believing in Jesus Christ. That's not an impersonal thing. It's not believing just a certain set of facts, important as they may be. It is not just believing the people who told you the facts. It is believing in Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, and buried. It is believing in Jesus Christ risen from the dead and declared to be the Son of God with power. It is believing in Jesus Christ, born as a baby at Bethlehem and now the Lord of heaven and earth. It is banking everything on him and in him. It is knowing him, trusting him, and loving him. Joy is believing. When you think about it, that's a friend, one you can believe in. Joseph Scriven got that in the hymn he wrote. It may not be the greatest hymn in the world, but it says something personal and true. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Now that's Jesus. He bears our sins. Greater love, said Jesus, has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He is a friend, and he did as a friend, yours and mine. St. Peter put it this way, in his own body, Jesus Christ bore our sins on his cross. In him you are forgiven, as I am too. In him there's life, real life, with joy that is indescribable and glorious. He loved, and we must love him too. A pastor sent me a letter he got from a couple who transferred from his church to another church in another community. A part of that letter said, there seems to be something you can sense about a church you attend. Maybe it's what you said about our church so many times, that you wish it to be known as a loving church. The church we have decided to join here seems to have that certain something that we felt so strongly at your church. Love. That's the way believing really works. It works by love. The Apostle John said, and I've never heard that he's been contradicted, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. It's the thing you see in people who love the Lord. They love one another. You can discern it in their actions, you can hear it in their words, and you can see it on their faces. The other day I had a conversation with four people, two men and two women, representing four families, all of whom had one thing in common. They all have a mentally retarded child in their homes. We talked about these children. Despite all the problems they present, there was such understanding, such love, that I could not help being personally moved. They told how their families, all of which include other children, were brought closer together instead of being driven apart, as many families are when confronted by a serious problem. All of these families had one other thing in common, something that came out all the time in their conversation with me. They love the Lord. That makes all the difference in the world. Maybe one of these days we can share some of this conversation with you on this broadcast. Now I'm telling you about it. They love the Lord and they rejoice in Him. They rejoice in those mentally retarded children. Believe it or not, they enjoy having those children. That can be described as nothing less than an achievement. Joy is believing. It is an exciting joy. I can promise you that. Believing means taking a risk. You don't know what's going to happen, but you take the chance anyway. A part of us simply doesn't want to do that. We want a sure thing. No chances. No risks. We want to see before we go into anything. That's the part of us that robs us of the joy of believing. Anybody who stakes his life on God takes a risk. He doesn't know what God is going to do or where God is going to lead him, but he takes a chance on faith. Faith that God knows what he's doing. It's the same chance you take in marriage or accepting a new job or moving to a new community. That requires change. Sometimes a big change, but you do it in faith that things will work out. Faith in God works out in an exciting way. It goes with Him wherever He leads. Sure, there will be times when exertion will be required and the blood will pound in your veins, but that's the excitement of it and the joy of it. It is an exciting joy, the joy of believing in the God who sent Jesus Christ and raised Him from the dead. It's the joy of dying and of living again. It is the gift of love, the joy of believing. Taking the risk of faith and finding it was the greatest thing you ever did in your whole lifetime. It's putting yourself into personal relationship with the living Christ. Without having seen Him, you said, I love Him. Though I do not now see Him, I believe in Him. And I rejoice with unutterable and exalted joy. Now that's believing. Have joy, my friend, in believing. Joy is believing. Amen.